Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We get to wrap up, Jackie and I get to wrap up this morning. We get to wrap up our Find Your People series. Authenticity and vulnerability have become somewhat, we'll say somewhat recent cultural buzz terms. You hear this all the time these days. And so the days of submitting like a very Photoshopped image to the world, it's kind of in the past. And we now see presentations of what, you know, it's so-called raw and unfiltered living. This is the most recent trend. But here's what's interesting is that, but even the honest and unfiltered tends to be managed and curated. So we then present storylines of this disheveled look, a thrown together meal, an unkempt house. But then within this managed presentation, this sense of authenticity then also becomes manufactured. And when manufactured vulnerability becomes the latest trend, true vulnerability is misrepresented, it's misunderstood, and can be avoided. So today we want to explore just this need for vulnerability in our earthly human relationships. Now, I've already used a handful of somewhat interchangeable words, such as authentic, or honest, or real, or vulnerable. Now, however minute the difference is, I believe there's a distinction between authenticity and vulnerability. So as believers, authenticity is for everyone. Now, as it's currently trending, I think it indicates that our world is crying out for authenticity. Which is why we can observe this shift from edited perfection to this raw and unfiltered look. And now, this is what authentic means: no pretense. It means no performance. It means no gimmicks. It means no glow ups, right? Authenticity is like, it's like a breath of fresh air when contrasted to a performance mentality. Now, in the world of art and artifacts, there are experts in authentication, and they're trained actually to expose the fake and the fraudulent, and trained to highlight that which is real and authentic. In psychology, a person is considered authentic when they align their actions with their core values and beliefs. So in essence, their actions are congruent with what is coming out of their mouths. And authenticity has actually long been a topic of debate in philosophy. But once again, it kind of comes down to this bit of, you know, encouraging the alignment of beliefs and actions. And actually, Jesus had a lot to say about authenticity. And let me read you a passage of scripture that is actually the opposite. He's calling people out for not being authentic. Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. And then you take note in scripture when things are kind of repeated in pairs. You're like, oh my goodness, he means business here. And Jesus does it again, just hits it from another angle. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now, we need to be careful here, because authenticity isn't just like being real, right? Or telling it like it is. Oh, they're an authentic person because they just walk into a room and tell it like it is. Honestly, anybody can do that. Authenticity is looking inside and humbly acknowledging whether or not the inside looks like the outside. Okay, it doesn't mean we don't get to approach people at times and go, hey, I don't see an alignment here. But it's not walking into a room and go, well, I'll just be the realist. It's going, wait a minute, let me look internally here and go, am I in alignment? Authenticity is truth-telling. It's telling the truth with others about our strengths, our struggles, and our story. Through And as believers, I would take it this step further through the perspective of God's transformative work of grace in our lives. Okay, we're in process. We're on a journey. But it's also being honest about where we're currently at. Authenticity is letting people know where you are at, what direction you are heading, and what you might need to get there. And you'll hear us over and over and over again encouraging you to engage in small group relationships. Now, just to hopefully alleviate some fears and concerns, this does not mean you need to tell everyone your deepest and darkest secrets. Okay, authenticity is showing up as yourself, being open and honest about where you're at today. Doesn't mean you got to tell all the things that have happened to get you here, but just go, man, guys, I'm really struggling. I'm concerned. I'm afraid. I realized even this last week, I was spending time with a guy, and I realized that I'm actually dealing with fears. And I'll be authentic with you. I've been dealing with some fears of just going, am I enough? God, can I even do the things that you've called me to do? And there's this kind of underlying concern there. I'm okay with doing that with you, mass public. But the vulnerability piece would be me telling you maybe some of the things that have been done to me or that I've done that have continued to feed that fear. I'm not going to do that right now. Okay, authentic. Authentic, showing up as yourself, being open and honest about where you're at. Authenticity and vulnerability both require. They both require, first of all, self-reflection. It's identifying our motives and our emotions and then taking an honest look at how we feel. Why do I feel that way? What's going on internally? It takes time. Can't be done in a moment. Oftentimes there's a period of processing, which is the second one. It's just a willingness to process through our feelings. It's taking a clear and honest look at our strengths and our weaknesses and giving ourselves time to sit in them. Some of you love to just avoid the sitting in and just moving on because, oh, that's uncomfortable. Some of you are way too comfortable sitting there, right? There's a period of time when you need to move into this next bit, and this next bit is alignment. It's alignment of our behaviors with our values and our beliefs, authenticity. Okay, but then here, I believe, is the line of distinction between authenticity and vulnerability, and it's this next one. It's the courage to share these things, the courage to share the stuff with trustworthy people. Authenticity is actually the prerequisite to vulnerability. And here's what's interesting is that vulnerability, it's woundability. It's opening yourself up to being wounded. And therefore, there's a cost to vulnerability. Theologian Dr. Joel Mudimal made this observation about vulnerability. He said, we want the benefits of vulnerability, but I'm worried that we aren't paying attention to the requirements of vulnerability. And most of us are unwilling to walk in the consequences of vulnerability. Now, before we go too much further, I want to say this, is that vulnerability doesn't always need to be embraced. Authenticity should. This authenticity is for everybody. But I would say this, authentic with all. That is the Christian way, authentic with all, but vulnerable with some. There is such a thing as wise vulnerability. It's usually with a small group of trusted people with which you have this reciprocity where it's kind of back and forth. They know about you, you know about them. And in a kind way, it's not like, hey, I got stuff on you and you got stuff on me and we could all hurt each other. No, it's like, man, I trust you to help me carry my stuff. Wise vulnerability with certain people who you have built up spiritual and emotional equity with. It's deep trust built over time with people you choose to do life with. Wise vulnerability puts you in a position to create safety and strength. Scripture talks about this cord where two together is stronger than one and three together is even stronger. There's this element of safety and strength and wise vulnerability. But see, unwise vulnerability exposes you to unsafe circumstances and situations. And I'm not saying you need to just go out and just tell everybody everything, right? If you've experienced being hurt, right? If you've experienced being exposed, if you've experienced unwise vulnerability, or even you thought it was wise vulnerability and something happened and you just really got hurt, and you have this experience in your past, the enemy will use that past experience to push you toward isolation. And then you'll never be willing to risk yourself to vulnerability again. But see, there may be wounding in unwise, certainly, but also in wise vulnerability. But wounding from a trusted friend can deepen our relationships. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, "One who has reliable friends soon comes, or unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Wounding as a result of wise vulnerability can be trusted. Proverbs 25, 5 through 6, an open rebuke, or another translation says reprimand. An open reprimand is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are trustworthy, or they're better than many kisses from an enemy. And wounding as a result of wise vulnerability can be healing. James 5, 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Vulnerability is the willingness to be known by our flaws and shortcomings, allowing our weaknesses to show through and still experiencing love. You have it from your Heavenly Father. We surrender our lives to Him. You are made right. We're the ones that kind of step away from that relationship. But that relationship, He says, hey, I see you. I see you righteous. I see you forgiven. I see you. But this vulnerability with human relationships is that opportunity to experience healing human love. There's a very old Japanese art called kintsugi, where an artisan actually repairs, they take broken pottery, and they mend the seams with, they take lacquer mixed with either gold, silver, or platinum powders. And then the result is the creation of beauty from something that was broken. Rather than trying to hide the damage, they actually highlight the cracks and celebrate the process, this process of breakage and repair. And that's what life is. You have scars, you have things, you have flaws, you have struggles, you have weaknesses. But can we celebrate together, right? Oh, I see this hurt, I see this mistake, I see this thing, but I see God healing and mending. And that is part of your past and your story. And that's what makes the beautiful you. Becoming vulnerable, showing up as yourself, a beautiful work of art with cracks and flaws on full display. Being open and honest about where you are at, where you are going, and what you need to get there.
I was talking with my son this week about this message, and I told him that we were going to be talking about vulnerability. So I asked him two questions. I asked him what he thought vulnerability meant, and then I also asked him if he felt like being vulnerable is a good thing or a bad thing. And without hesitation, he said, "You have to be vulnerable to make friends because you have to open up so that they can know you." And I thought that was a pretty profound observation for a kid. And he's right, we can't have deep friendships without vulnerability. We can have acquaintances, they can know our jobs, our hobbies, the sports teams we cheer for, but if someone is really going to know you, eventually you have to be willing to open your heart to them. And here's the irony, vulnerability is very challenging for me, and it's not because I want to hide something or I'm afraid of looking weak. I struggle because I honestly don't always know what's going on and happening inside of me. I have been naturally ungifted at self-reflection, which I realize can complicate how I relate to people. I've had to learn to take time to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to help me clearly see what I have going on in my internal world. An emotions wheel has also helped me. They have the core emotions, and then spokes that go out that help you clearly articulate perhaps the things that you're feeling inside. I can't invite people into my hurts and my insecurities if I don't know that they're actually there, and let alone realizing how they're distorting my relationship with God and the people around me. And I don't imagine that I'm the only one that struggles this way. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that we can do is stop long enough to ask the Holy Spirit, what is really going on inside of me? The word vulnerable comes from the Latin word vulnus, which literally means wound. The word vulnerable means being capable of being wounded. It's willing to acknowledge where we can be wounded and that we have been wounded, where we're weak, where we can be hurt. And everything within us wants to do the opposite of that. When we've been wounded, our instinct is to self-protect. We build walls, we keep conversations shallow, we pretend that we're fine, and we stop letting people in. The problem is, the walls don't just keep pain out, they keep people out too. And that's the problem, because God didn't design us that way. He designed us for relationship, first with Him and then with each other. Healing and transformation don't usually happen in isolation. They happen in honest relationships. Ryan read James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. God plans to use our relationships to help bring healing and restoration. If you question whether that's really how God intended us to live, we can see it remarkably displayed by Jesus. In Matthew's account of Jesus' life, we can see him practicing this. We're going to pop into the story when Jesus is in the garden with his friends before he's arrested and taken to be killed on the cross. He's aware his death is approaching and he's distressed. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, the same thing. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows the cross. He knows the Father's plan. And yet he doesn't put on a brave face and pretend like everything is fine. He tells his closest friends, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And then he asks them, will you stay here and pray with me? Think about that. The Son of God invited his friends into his struggle. For centuries, this account bothered some people. There were scholars and teachers who wanted a stronger looking Savior. They didn't appreciate the way Jesus acted and the way it was described in the gospel accounts. They wanted Jesus to face the cross like a fearless superhero, calm, confident, emotionally untouched. But it's not what the gospels show us. We see a Savior who is fully human, a Savior who experiences anguish for what he knows is coming, who wrestled, who prayed, who honestly expressed what he was carrying. He knew the Father's plan, but he was honest about how painful his future looked. And he asked the Father, could we do this a different way? Not because he lacked faith. He was being honest about how he felt about the path going forward. And if you remember the story, it gets even harder because Jesus opens his heart to his closest friends. He asks them to pray with him because he's troubled, and they fall asleep. If you've shared something deeply personal and felt like people didn't really care, Jesus understands that feeling. If you've ever risked vulnerability only to feel disappointed, he's been there too. He knows what it's like to reach for friendship and not receive what he hoped for. But notice Jesus wasn't wrong for being vulnerable just because his friends failed him. Wounded people have a choice. We can become guarded or we can become honest. Our instinct is to protect ourselves, but the Holy Spirit is our protector. So instead of spending our energy building walls, we should spend our energy learning to articulate what's happening inside of us. Invite people in to our lives. We confess, we pray, we let ourselves be known. If vulnerability is so important, why is it so hard? I think there are at least two reasons. The first might be simply that you're not self-aware or that you have really practiced self-reflection. We move through life so fast that we rarely stop long enough to invite Holy Spirit to search us and to reveal what's underneath the surface. We can't invite someone into a place that we have not visited ourselves. I think the second reason is pride. We know what's going on inside, we just don't want anyone else to know. Pride convinces us that we have something to protect, our image, our reputation, the illusion that we've got it together. Pride will whisper, don't let them see that part of you. If they really knew, they might reject you. So we hide, we manage our image, we keep conversations safe, and the very walls we build to protect ourselves are the things that keep us lonely. It's interesting that our culture says it wants authenticity. We celebrate the words raw, real, unfiltered. We expect it from influencers, politicians. We demand it from celebrities. We want companies to be transparent. And we end up applauding vulnerability as long as it's someone else's. But if you would be willing to ask yourself, when someone around you is actually vulnerable, what do you do with it? Do you treat it with compassion or do you quietly write it off? Our pride doesn't just keep us from being vulnerable. It causes us to judge other people's vulnerability too. But scripture points us to a different posture. In Romans 12:3, it says, "Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves." Humility is simply seeing ourselves honestly. Not pretending we're better, not pretending we're worse, just telling the truth about who we are. That's why I love what the author Pete Scazzaro says. He encourages people to embrace the gift of your limp. Everyone has a limp, everyone has weakness, everyone has wounds. It's part of being human. And when we stop pretending otherwise, something surprising happens. Our vulnerability becomes a gift. It reminds us that we need Jesus, and it reminds us that we need each other. I've been learning that one of the marks of spiritual maturity isn't pretending to be strong. It's becoming increasingly willing to tell the truth. The truth about how I feel, the truth about my fears, the truth about my wounds, and the truth about how I view God. He can't transform the person that I'm pretending to be. He will transform the person that I actually am. And as we grow in Christ, we don't outgrow our need for people. We just start being more willing to admit how much we need others.
We all came here carrying, living different stories, but the enemy wants to isolate us by causing us to believe a lie. Causing us to believe that our struggles make us unusual and they make us, you're the only one, and so therefore you're alone. But see, the truth is our struggles actually remind us that we're human. And this is one incredibly powerful way that Jesus connects with us, is in our humanity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, it says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, I can most identify my life with Jesus. Will you please pray with me? Jesus, would you help us be courageous? Lord, I don't want to pretend. I don't want to set forth that I got it all sorted persona. Lord, I want to be that display, that artwork, that incredible piece of art that shows the cracks and the flaws and allows other people to see, but I am made whole through the power of Jesus. Lord, would you help us be courageous? And would you help us be wise? Lord, would you help us be courageous in approaching people and saying, would you go on this kind of journey with me? And Lord, as we confess and as we move into these vulnerable spaces, Lord, would you bring healing? Would you bring a new level of strength? Lord, would you allow us, God, to experience that reconciliation and that healing and that health here on earth. And God, as we grow in those relationships, may we be more confident in our relationship with you and then more confident to grow in those and back and forth. Lord, you transform us and you use one another. Amen. In closing, I got just a few questions for you that I want you to take a bit of time and ponder. Here's a question for you. How was vulnerability modeled in your home when you were growing up? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. How do you personally feel about vulnerability today? Okay, this isn't something you have to share with somebody, but just ponder this. Ponder this as well. Who in your life makes you feel safe to be vulnerable? Do you have anybody? If you don't have anybody, right, let's start looking around. What's this look like? But if you do have those people, what about them causes you to feel that way? I want to challenge you this week to find someone, maybe even just today, to find someone and intentionally have an authentic or even vulnerable conversation with them. And I would challenge you to do this. Tell them what you're doing. Don't just go and just, you know, start unloading on somebody, but tell them, hey, I want to step into authenticity with you. I want to step into vulnerability with you. Again, bring James 5:16 with you. Confess to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay, do that and say, hey, I want to have this with you because I believe there's something that happens supernaturally within us when we do this. And tell them, warn them what you're doing. Confess, be known by one another so that you may be healed. It's my challenge to you this week. Be blessed. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. Have a great week.